we're going to talk about is, you know, looking at here the agenda, right? So one is always thought leadership. We have a special guest speaker. We're going to be building, you know, your apps, backing up your apps in Microsoft Azure. Frequently asked questions Yijian and Justin and myself, and then we'll get into the meat of all the different things. All right, so the guest of the week today is, in my opinion, probably the best partner channel development manager in the nation. And we're really fortunate to have him actually here in Southern California. And if you don't know him, you should know him. And you know, we're just, once again, lucky to have his insights. And Justin, can you kind of just introduce yourself and you know, where you came from and where you are today?
Sure, thanks, Sherman. I really appreciate you having me on the show today. So my name is Justin Slagle. I'm the Partner Channel Development Manager for the Southwest U.S. My primary territory is Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. And I share the Southwest with Sharon Collins, if you guys are in the Desert Mountain area. So I'm fresh coming off our quarterly partner briefing, Sherman. We had about 350 partners register for those. We had over 200 actually attend. Some of the highest evaluation scores we've had for any event that we've done in Southern California. It's quite exciting for us because we haven't had quarterly partner briefings for 8 to 10 years. So to have these come back, we're really excited to be able to share some extra content and really have the partners understand our business inside and out. So coming off a high from that, from Wednesday to Friday, but really, really excited to be here with you to talk about backup today.
Awesome, thank you very much. So let's get into, you know, thoughts. You know, I think one of the things that Justin brings to the table is, you know, he was a partner, and then he was he actually had my role and really blazed the trail there at MCC, and now he's a partner channel development manager. And I think if, you know, his insight from, you know, being able to be in all three different roles, I think is tremendous. And that's why I figured what we're going to go ahead and do is ask him a few questions. So I think if we look at, you know, the first question really is, you know, what do you see as the most successful partner? What do you see as the most successful? What are they doing the most here in the Southwest? And what are your thoughts on that?
So that's a good question, Sherman. I think the one thing that I see across the top success for partners is really understanding multiple workloads. So it's not just about Office 365, or it's not just about Dynamics, but it's actually partners who are selling 2, 3, or even 4 workloads. So what I mean by that is they're selling Office 365, they're selling Enterprise Mobility and Security, they're selling Azure, and they're selling CRM. CRM is actually one that I think if you look at our top partners across the country, CRM is that missing piece between a good and a great partner. So I definitely recommend partners to look across the stack. But even with just Office 365, with our Office 365 partners, the partners that are the most successful are not just doing email. They're also doing SharePoint. They're also doing OneDrive. They're doing Skype. I will tell you from our quarterly partner briefings, the number one thing that partners are requesting and are looking forward to building their business on is the new Skype for Business with our new Cloud PBX and the Modern Meetings, which, by the way, Modern Meetings are available now. So we can go in and displace GoToMeeting and WebEx. So those are some things that I see out in the field. Most successful, just multiple workloads.
So if you were a if you weren't working for Microsoft, then, you know, I think one of the cool things is that we get to see a lot of different things, right? We kind of see the best partners doing the best things. If you were on your own right now, or you're starting a practice, or you're, you know, evolving and changing in the transformation piece of it, you know, what would you do? Like, you know, how would you build your practice?
Oh, that's another great question, Sherman. So I think the first thing is understanding the roots of MCC. So I love the things that you've been doing with Project Lead Gen and Microsoft Community Connections, but to me it's all about understanding influence and understanding how to take advantage of influence. So the first thing I would do is I would understand who are my key influencers. So whether it's in the business market, so if I'm going after a small business market, if I'm particularly going after a vertical, maybe it's the legal vertical, so I would find out who those legal associations are. I would figure out how do I get those people to work for me as opposed to just doing events for them. So I think we'll get into a little bit more of that whenever we get into MCC. But then it's also, like I said, the understanding the multiple workloads. So I would not just go to market with just selling email. One of the things I've talked to several partners about in just even the last month or so, is taking your job from selling email boxes and even backup and doing things a little bit different that are a little bit more exciting. So when I go out to a customer, I will talk to them about, let's just brainstorm. Let's have a brainstorming session here and understand, you know, what do you think technology can do to double or triple your business? And let them talk and maybe give them a couple ideas with maybe HoloLens or maybe talking about machine learning and artificial intelligence. Just let them dream about what technology could particularly do. Then you take that next step of saying, now that we've dreamed this out and these are the things that you think can double or triple your business, what if I could get you that and it doesn't cost you any more money than what you're spending today? And of course, everybody says, then I would absolutely do it. So the next piece is, in order for us to be able to do that, we have to open up the books and see what you've been spending your money on for IT and telephony and everything over the last couple of years. So once we start looking in there, then we can start seeing, okay, well, they're spending X amount of dollars on phones. Now we can move those phones over to Skype for Business and we save X amount of dollars. Maybe they've got a CRM system that's costing them, you know, hundreds or thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. So maybe we can move them over to Dynamics, and by doing so, we can save them some extra money. So the idea, whenever we look through the books, is we can make them a more productive enterprise, we can make them more secure, we can give them better technology, get them to be more modern, and in 99% of the time, we can save them money. Now, what do we do with when we save that money? We save that money and we put it into one of the things they were just talking about with maybe HoloLens or artificial intelligence, machine learning. We do some of that cool stuff. So it helps take the conversation from just selling email boxes to doing something that's a little bit more fun and creative. And that's what I would do if I were a partner. I would have more conversations like that and try to have more fun with getting customers exactly what they're looking for.
Would you focus your business on, you know, I think a lot of partners are doing still a lot of break fix, hourly, project based, you know, and kind of getting into MSP. What would you do in that scenario? Would you be moving away from even MSP and kind of just going into software services, or trying to build a model that's scalable nationwide as opposed to just regionally?
Let me see if I follow the question. So how would I come up with a scalable business? I think you're exactly right. So it's about having the right workloads, about understanding the workloads. Uh-huh. So Office 365, I definitely want to understand Skype. I definitely want to understand the full gamut of email. I definitely want to understand SharePoint and OneDrive. Uh-huh. And then within that, I also want to understand who are the right ISVs who can help me make a better, more scalable offering. So as an example, at the quarterly partner briefings, we had a few ISVs who were there. But let's say I'm going after the legal vertical. Okay. So Law Toolbox is a great ISV that I could partner with. RPost is another great ISV that I could partner with. And when I take their tools, I can make Office 365 more compliant. I can also extend to that vertical. So if it's a legal vertical, I now have an offering that is specific to the legal vertical. And that helps me scale, and then also helps the association understand how good I am in that vertical, which helps them sell it to other people within the association.
You know, that's a great answer. You know, is that what I'm seeing in the marketplace is, you know, sometimes when you're doing break fix or you're doing just the regional MSP stuff, you have a cap that you're kind of stuck in a regional area. But if you're to create a package or package IP around software, and as well as, you know, providing the on-site services, you could go past that region and, you know, possibly kind of move into, you know, a statewide offer or even a national offer if you, put it together correctly.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right, Sherman. I can tell you that we have partners here in the Southwest. Some of our bigger deals are actually landing from East Coast partners. We've got some of our top partners here in Southwest who have grown their businesses from Australia and India and Europe, and they've put together packages that have really done well in those countries, and now they're coming to the U.S. to broaden the scope. So the nice thing about a cloud business is that it can truly scale anywhere. You don't have to have people on site to do the things that we do today. Now, there are some customers who still want that, so having good partnerships across the country and across the globe can help. But for most of the work, it's just a cloud service.
A lot of this stuff is customizable. I mean, think of those software companies that had to spend, you know, $10 million to develop, you know, an ERP solution and then go to market. Now you can literally just take the current productivity tools that are provided by Microsoft and just package them together or, you know, do light modifications and call it your own, you're selling that software. And then you reduce overall costs of having engineers on staff to manage those break-fix issues. All right, so let's move on to the next question. Is what do you see as the most impactful products right now, ones that are not only helping partners sell more, but also helping the customer?
Yeah, another great question. So, I mean, obviously Office 365 is our bread and butter. But the key component there is, like I say, understanding all the different workloads within Office 365. I think Skype is going to be a home run product for us. And right now, where I would start is really looking and understanding the meetings part of Skype. Right now, the average cost that we see per user per month for competitive solutions is $24 per user per month. With Skype, I mean, it's a $4 add-on to add in Skype meetings, so PSTN conferencing. So that's one thing that I'd really understand that would help me get into the voice piece. As the Cloud PBX starts rolling out, I would want to make sure that I understand that piece of it. With Azure, I think Azure is going to be the biggest and best product that Microsoft has in a very, very short term. So when I look across our opportunities, like right now we have, in SMB, we have three deals in the Southwest that I know of that are $1 million plus. And it's hard to fathom that we have $1 million opportunities in SMB, but Azure is really an unlimited opportunity. So when we look at, you know, how people are putting that infrastructure in play and how they're utilizing the service, it's built on consumption. So it can go as high as somebody wants it to go, and as long as they see value in it, they're just gonna continue to use more and more of it. The three workloads that we see in SMB that are the big ones, number one is virtual machines. So understanding how just to put those virtual machines, move that infrastructure into Azure. Two is backup and disaster recovery, which I think we'll talk about backup a little bit more. And number three is hosting websites. So of Azure, of all the different things you can do with Azure, those are the three things that I would really focus on. And then the last thing I would say is enterprise mobility and security. Our customers want to talk about security. Our customers need and are asking for us to help make them more secure. And our EMS package, the Enterprise Mobility and Enterprise Mobility and Security package, really is the best on the market. So the value that you get from it, and I tell partners, you've got to lead with three things. So don't confuse customers, and I don't want to confuse you guys as partners, but it's all about single sign-on, multi-factor authentication, and rights management for your documents. So if you can position those three things, I think you guys will sell a lot more EMS. And I would attach EMS to every single Office 365 subscription that I sold.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a good recap. Now, you know, a lot of partners kind of wonder, you know, how do I get noticed by Microsoft, you know, or partners come in and they're like, gosh, how do I navigate this, you know, monstrosity of just the Microsoft Partner Network, you know, web page, right? So in your as the PCDM for the Southwest region, what would you say are the steps to get noticed by Microsoft to kind of become like a managed partner or somebody who we work with closely?
So to be noticed, I think it's really about what type of offerings are you putting out there? How much revenue are you generating in Microsoft licensing? But it's also about visibility. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think visibility is the number one key even to just general marketing. So if you're coming to Microsoft events, like we had the quarterly partner briefing, if you're showing up to those events, we have SMB Lives across the country. And in fact, our SMB Live in Irvine is here tomorrow and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. If you're coming to these events, if you have opportunities, we have large size opportunities that you bring to us. I mean, obviously we want to work those deals with you, and the more that you bring, the more that we know that you're out there working. And then also packaging things together. So when you bring those opportunities, if you bring us a 500 seat Exchange only opportunity, and then you just continue just to bring those. I mean, we want to work with partners who are selling the entire stack. So if you bring us an opportunity that's a full Office 365 with EMS and you're doing backup in Azure, those are the things that really get noticed, and those are the partners that we really want to work with. So helping us understand what you're doing and helping us by selling the complete stack and helping our customers understand the offerings, that's really what we're looking for, and that's what will make you stand out.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Those are some great things. You know, Justin's going to be adding a lot to this presentation as we move forward. So, you know, what we want to do here is, you know, we really want to talk, bring up what's called Package of the Week. We've done it before in the past, you know, towards the end of the the broadcast. However, what I wanted to do this week is actually help you guys frame it, help you guys just kind of put it in your head first, and it's in relation to the topic that we are going to be talking about. All right, so the package of the week this week is going to be around, I think we named it the SMB Gold with Disaster Recovery. And as you see here, so one, we're going to start off with MSP Tier 1 services, okay? So you can get them from any of the distributors. You can get them from anywhere between $3 a month, depending on if it's just Office 365, to $10 to $15 to $20 a month. And then you can resell that for a higher margin, right? Next is to provide Office 365 E3 Edition. You get a lot of extra bells and whistles with that. Then tie in, it should be an attach with everything that you're doing, the Enterprise Mobility Plus Security. And then I thought, okay, well, now how do we utilize Azure Disaster Recovery Services services to help out? So we add in another thing called Azure Disaster Recovery Insurance. Now, this is not something that Microsoft is saying that this is what you name it or what you're providing. This is an idea to help you frame the idea of putting together the package, right? So I put together a name. So with that, you know, one is going to be setting up and creation of the Azure Storage VMs. Next is maintaining and monitor the Azure Storage VMs. Next would be disaster recovery with monthly assessments. And then you provide security assessment and assurance. And then lastly, number five, you'd provide training. So you could take this and put a package together and then sell that, you know, to your clients out there. And one of the nice things about this is that this differentiates yourself from everybody else out there. You're not just selling Office 365. You're not just selling Exchange. What you're doing is you're actually providing a package within the same components, but something that's different that creates a differentiation proposal or differentiation idea for your partners. So, you know, Justin, let me ask you this. In your opinion, you know, what would you add or what would you think would be good to add to the package? Package of the week.
You know, I love the package here, Sherman. I think a couple things I would look at. So you mentioned training. I love adding ISVs into the solution, especially those that I can white label. And okay. One of the great ISVs that we have out there in the training world is Team Fusion, that's based right here in Los Angeles. So they have a white label training offer, this computer-based training that you basically roll it out to every user. They then can select any training that they want. On a regular basis, you can pull reports, and once you pull those reports, you can see, okay, within the organization, maybe it's 50 people, and maybe 20 of them over the last month did an online tutorial on pivot tables. Well, then you can follow up with that customer and provide an in-person training. Just follow up and say, hey, we want to do an in-person training, and maybe you charge $2,000 for that training class. Okay. So not only can you add in an additional value out on computer-based training, but you can also then follow up on a regular basis to give them in-person training. Another thing that I would potentially look at, depending on the customer, is adding Windows Enterprise. So Windows Enterprise is now available as a cloud service. And so when you add Windows Enterprise E3, along with Office 365 E3 and EMS E3, that's what we call the secure productive enterprise. That is the most secure offering that we have at Microsoft. So if the customer has any type of compliance or regulations, or they have any IP that they're trying to protect, that's the only other thing that I would add in here, but other than that, I love the package you put together, Sherman.
Cool. You know, Derek just mentioned every long-term Office 365 deal I've done starts with just Exchange. So we shouldn't be shying away from this email. Now, you know, that's a really good point. Now, there's a thing called beachheads. Beachheads are a way to kind of get into an account. Maybe an account already has an IP or an IT person in there, so you can establish a beachhead. But I think what we're trying to advocate here is trying to help you differentiate yourself from the rest of the IT people out there, or the person that's going to provide the same product, you know, on a lower margin type of deal, and then you're fighting a margin. So this is really more just to kind of get it in the head and kind of think, okay, if I'm asked to bid against other, you know, MSPs on a project or a deal, you know, what can I do that provides added value that I can make a lot more margin on, but also, put myself in a position where I don't have to compete, you know, with other people. Would you agree with that, Justin, about that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because if a customer can go out and find the same exact offering that you have as somebody else, if they search on Google or Bing, which we have to understand that 70% of what customers do, or 70% of when the customer is looking for a product, they're doing 70% before they even contact you. So if they're looking for Office 365, just email only, just Exchange only, if they can find the same offering with somebody else, then all of a sudden you get in a competitive bidding situation. So I really like what you've done here with the package, where it's the SMB Gold with disaster recovery. There's probably not anybody else who's going to have that. Or if there is, then we can change the name. But the other thing, I mean, I think it's a good point that he brings up, that his previous customers have Exchange only. That's perfect. So one of the things that we talk about in the SMB Live trainings is what we call customer lifecycle value. And now that you have these customers, you don't have to acquire them again. So now we can take somebody who's just in an Exchange only, and maybe we can go back to them and talk about advanced threat protection. So that's something maybe you're going to cover in a future episode, Sherman, but just to kind of give you guys an understanding of what advanced threat protection is, it provides two things with Exchange. One is it provides what we call safe links. So if a user clicks on a link that's malicious, what happens is it opens up that link in a virtual environment in Azure, and before it delivers the website to the user, it actually checks that link to make sure that it's not a malicious link. If it's okay, then the user in just a few tenths of a second will be opened up on that website. If it's a malicious link, it's going to go to a big red page and it's going to say this link is malicious. You can't go to this site. It does the same thing with attachments. So if somebody clicks on an attachment, maybe there's a virus or a malware or something in the attachment. But that package is something you can add on to even Exchange only. You can add it on to any of the SKUs that include Exchange, and it's just $2 a month. So if you have a base of customers who just have Exchange, and moving from Exchange only to Business Essentials is only a $1 difference. And then you give them SharePoint, you give them OneDrive, you give them Skype. And then if you want to add in Advanced Threat Protection, it's an additional $2. So there are a couple of little things you could do with all of those past customers that you have that really can start increasing your total margin that you have through the licensing sales on top of adding in the additional managed services. And I would also say that those Exchange customers are also very big prospects for enterprise mobility and security.
That's great. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it. All right, so let's get into the meat of the stuff. Backing up your data with Microsoft Azure. You know, what we do is we always kind of go into the main slide, the one slide that we'll do and talk about in-depthly here. And it's way too many words on one slide. So what we do, we break it up for you. All right, so the first thing we need to understand is the customer, market, and partner opportunity that is out there for you. So let's think about the psychological triggers here for customers who you might be talking to. And what we find there is, you know, the customer is kind of thinking to themselves, you know, what do I, you know, I need to find a place where I can, you know, get simple backup, cheap backup, you know, easy, way to restore files. You know, disaster recovery is really going to be the thing, the theme here that you're talking with your customers and talking to them. But then the customer's also thinking to themselves, gosh, you know, what happens if I have a fire? What happens if there's a flood? You know, where is my stuff? I have a tape drive. You know, some people still have those tape backups. Or I'm putting it on, you know, CDs, but they need to have something that can spin up really quickly. I think 40% of all small to medium-sized businesses in the U.S. that get hit by a natural disaster close within 6 months. And it's not because they can't, reopen the door, just because all of their systems are down. They have their whole server is, you know, located inside their office, and something happens to it, that's not good. So, you know, they want to quickly restore stuff, and, you know, they want to retain the files. That's the next thing, is that a lot of customers right now, especially, you know, for, you know, compliance issues, right? PCI, HIPAA, you know, a lot of lawyers, a lot of law firms, suits, e-discovery type of things, you need to be able to retain those files, and what better a place to do it, you know, than really Azure. So that's what the customer's thinking when they're thinking about, you know, or they don't know yet that they're thinking about Azure backup, but they're thinking, how do I take something and put it somewhere where it's definitely going to be safe?
You know, Sherman, one thing I'll mention is, when I was doing the MCC role, one of the partnerships that I had was with the U.S. Geology Survey. Uh-huh. And we were starting to pull data on, it doesn't matter where you're at in the U.S. or, in fact, anywhere in the globe. Uh-huh. Everyone has a different type of disaster that could happen to them. If we look at the hurricane that just went through Florida and going up the East Coast, here in Southern California, we uh-huh. have the threat of earthquakes all the time. So backup is such an essential part to a small business.
Absolutely essential. There was this case study about a law firm back in when Katrina came, and you know, within 2 days of that natural disaster, they're still running. So what did they do? They put several things. They put a platform as a service. So they used I think it was just infrastructure as a service. I don't know the provider at the time, but they had two things. They had the voice over IP phone system, which is literally Skype for Business, right? And then they had their platform, their whole system backed up, in the cloud, and they're basically utilizing the right phone, configuration. It didn't matter that their office wasn't ringing anymore. They could forward the calls, right? They could answer it. And then secondly, the customers could still access their data points by, accessing something that's at a data center that's far away. That's just a case study that I recently looked at, and I think it's just a wonderful way to kind of look at it, but also another great way to explain it to your customers. All right, so let's move into the next one. I think it's going to be the market opportunity here. And, the market opportunity is huge, absolutely huge. And the one thing that we have to think about is 46% of the most popular cloud workloads are core to Azure, backup being one of them. So infrastructure as a service, right? There's another just core thing for customers in the marketplace. Also, we see a growth of $19 billion in the last 5 years when it comes to cloud storage and backup. And the biggest market for cloud services is the small to medium-sized business market. They're looking to that SMBs are looking to adopt it, in a 52% growth rate. It's changing, right? So we also talked last week. We talked in 2022, you're going to see about 60% of all computing going to be in the cloud, right? So it's all moving there. There's thousands and thousands of organizations out there that are still, haven't really even hardly made the move to cloud. And I think if you look at the opportunity and think to yourself, hey, this is low-hanging fruit, I can do it. Utilize, some of these facts and figures to propel your business. All right, so what is the partner opportunity? That's really what we have to think. Okay, well, what can you do, right? So I think the first thing you have to think about is really instilling confidence in your customer's mind with understanding the breadth of Azure by itself, right? 19 data center regions. We have more than data centers in Google and AWS combined, and we surpassed Amazon for uptime. You want to provide them with easy, affordable backup and ways to archive their information. And then the nice thing too is as you move away from some of these SMB customers running into these organizations that have SQL, offer them a fast way to backup all their on-prem database. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest opportunities. If you run into any customer that possibly has SQL inside of their office, in a file server, you ask, hey, what is the security for your file server? And they say, well, it's over there in the closet. And you say, well, okay, well, where do you back it up to? And they'll say, well, the other closet, right? It could be, right? And then you say, well, gosh, what happens in a natural disaster? What happens if there's a flood or a fire or somebody breaks in? You need to have that in a secure place. So that's a great, great partner opportunity for you. So, and then lastly, I think education. Educating them on backup versus disaster recovery versus storage, and then trying to help them do something. Utilize this as another way to, as a beachhead into, selling Azure. We also talked several weeks ago about the 27% compound annual growth rate that Azure has. When customers get it, they just keep buying it. That's the facts and figures that we have today. All right. So now that we've gone through those three things, I know we're kind of breezing through those. What we want to do is go into the next thing, which is going to be, defining Azure Backup. Now, really, what is Azure Backup? And you have to understand, Azure Backup, really is it's a cost-effective option, for backing up customer data to the cloud. That's what it really is. You're just backing it all up. You can, pay as you go. You can spring it up, spring it down. You can say, hey, to a customer, you have, 10 servers full of email. You know, why don't we go ahead and back it up to the email server, or back up to the Azure server, and then maybe after you migrated Office 365, then maybe we can bring it back down. So you can do that. And then the nice thing too is you have to think about enterprise grade protection, and that is really the way to talk about it with the customer who says, oh no, I have it all taken care of. We back up every day. You ask them, well, where do you put the backups, right? Where are they? Do you put them in a lock and key? Do you store them in a vault? And then that's okay if they do. I mean, maybe they have things taken care of. But I bet you if you were to ask simple questions, probing questions, open-ended questions, you will be able to find out things that are happening that you can talk to them about, as your backup, and kind of frame the solution for you. All right, so the next is, what is Azure Machine Backup? Now, Azure Virtual Machine Backup, excuse me. So in the case of on-premise failure, customers can easily restore their backups in Microsoft Azure Virtual Machines to get them back online quickly. And it minimizes the hardware expenditures with scalable storage. So think about that, right? If you have something going on, virtual machine backup, and there's a flood, there is something that happens, disaster, if they have this, now they can actually still run their programs. They can still run, their main. If they have Azure Active Directory, people can, log into the cloud, log into the servers, and actually still continue to do work. Those are the people. Those are the customers who are not shutting down after 6 months because they're planning ahead for what's next. All right, last one is SQL Server Backup, right? So if we talk about SQL Server Backup, I just said that this is one of those great opportunities where if you run into a customer that just has, several SQL servers that are, on-prem, and you say, gosh, hey, let me ask you a couple questions. Where do you back this up? This seems to be pretty important stuff, right? If they have SQL Server, they have a lot of data, right? So now you have the opportunity to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to back it up into Azure, no problem. We're going to provide you the enterprise-grade data protection just as the financial institutions use. And, we're going to help you eliminate capital expense that has to do with all of your other, SQL servers that you have in the office. What if they have 10, right? And then what if they're at the end of their life cycle? What, is the customer going to, buy another SQL Server, brand new one, and then have a five-year, depreciation of that asset? Or could they possibly just spin up enough in the cloud using Azure Virtual Machines? They could do the latter, and I think you'll find that you'll have a lot more opportunity with that. All right, so let's move on over here to one of the key things that we do is really about, project managed or packaged IP, okay? So we have to think about that. How do we frame that? So one of the biggest things here is backing up your data in Microsoft Azure. You have three things, and we talk about this every single week, right? We talk about project services, managed services, and then creating your own IP, right? And the reason we talk about this is because we're trying to get you to think about how to create a scalable platform that you can do every single day, regardless of where you are in the US or in the world per se. So capitalize on the market opportunity. We've seen this. 64% of organizations are currently backing up their data right now, and you have that opportunity. So what are some of the insights to maximize the profitability? And I think one of those is concentrate on niches to better differentiate yourself and the value proposition. I think you need to look at more additional value workloads, and then capitalizing on the profitability is creating your own IP behind what we're talking about. And that's why we wanted to use packaged IP as the very first thing to talk about today, right? We gave you the package of the week. It's because that's where your margins are. Now look at this. If you see project services, okay, you're going to see a 35% margin on that, right? Okay, well, that's good because you can do a project, you can help them understand and configure and lay out the items behind it. But now if you add in managed services, which is, hey, let's go ahead and manage your regional resources, you're gonna be in a position where, hey, now I'm gonna get 45% margins, right? Because you can just add it. Your margins are bigger by providing that more than just one and done project services, right? But where the money really is and where the income and the revenue really comes into is at creating that IP, all right? Creating the IP where you can get a 65% profit margin. And what is that? How do you do that? Well, it's taking the stuff that we're talking about and adding, you know, some different workloads that you're going to have to do to it, right? But also talking about what Justin said earlier about, hey, you know, let's add training. Let's add some of these other ISVs that have these great products that we're, you know, Microsoft is, you know, they're on the ISV showcase. You can add those and charge, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5x on top of that. That's where the money is. And the beauty about that is it's scalable and it's not, excuse me, not just regional. Sorry, getting a little excited about this because I get excited about creating IP. I want all you guys to make, you know, the most revenue possible. But the only way to do that is if we start thinking, okay, how do we do something a little bit different? And creating your own IP, your own package, that's the way to do it. All right, so let's move on to the next one here. You know, we're sliding back, you know, pretty fast because we got a lot of things to talk about today. All right. So the next one, let's go here, is partner resources. This is a great part of the program. Last time I just talked about the Cloud Enablement Desk, but I really want to talk about partner resources. We're here to give you the latest and greatest ideas about what's going on. So, you know, what I have up here is really the tech data thing in the October offer. So Tech Data is one of our distributors, great distributor. You know, the nice thing about all the distributors is that, you know, they're each one's taking their own path. And I like it because there's not one distributor for all partners where that particular partner has to go to, right? So Tech Data's got three things here that I think are pretty notable. And Tech Data's got a big line card, you know, of ISV solutions. So that's one of, you know, kind of, they're really innovating with that. They also have this thing called Stream One, which provides unique provisioning, some billing, and lifecycle management. And then they also provide a lot of great trainings from Cloud 101, virtual webinars. They do a lot of great things there. And that's, you know, I can't say enough about Tech Data. They're really putting a lot of, you know, effort into it. They also have a lot of incentives, right? So on the right-hand side, and we'll give you the whole thing, they have, you know, switch to CSP incentive. They have a migrate with BitTitan incentive. They have a NetEnrich EMS, Active Directory onboarding, Azure Health Check. Unbelievable. I love that Azure Health Check. And then they also have the SkyKick Super Bundle with that. You know, the next item, oh my gosh, PowerPoint stopped working on me. So we're going to have to kind of wing this one. All right. So the next item was talking about streaming. Hold on one moment while we get through this technical difficulty.
Yeah, Sherman,
here.
While you do that, I think the next slide was about this Tech Data Stream One. And one of the things I'll tell you guys, and we'll kind of go into some of the solutions that Tech Data has. It first talked about their CSP incentives, and all of our distributors have incentives in place for moving your business to CSP. One of the reasons for that is, hopefully you guys know that on October 1st, Microsoft stopped paying sell incentives for when you sell direct through the Microsoft website. So we want you to move those customers that you have on the direct Microsoft website and moving them into CSP. The distributors like Tech Data, Ingram Micro, DNH, and Synnex all have incentives for you to move those customers over. Not only do you get the incentives, you make money because now you're only incentivized to sell through CSP, as well as if you migrate the older customers into CSP, you move from a 3% commission up to, you know, whatever the percentage is that you, which you negotiate with the distributor, which is significantly higher than the 3%. With Tech Data, for the Stream One, one of the things that's really unique about their Stream One service is in Azure, it actually has the ability for you to see consumption usage per Azure tenant. You can set up alerts. So if a customer is using a ton of data, a ton in their VMs, that you'll be able to report on that and send them alerts and say, hey, you told me you only wanted to spend $10,000 this month. You've already spent $9,000 and it's the 15th of the month, whatever the case may be. So they definitely have some unique perspectives there, as well as one other thing that they have with Stream One is they have a marketplace that you can enable for end customers. So that's something else you could talk to Tech Data about. If you would like customers to be able to customize their own ordering, if they want to add or remove seats on their own without having to contact you, that's all available through the Stream One portal at Tech Data.
Justin, thanks, man. Appreciate it for helping out that. Hey, can you talk about the cloud enablement desk? I've talked about it for 2 weeks, but I have not given it its justice.
Sure.
Please help us out.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've done in this new fiscal year, FY17, is we moved away from our old program that we had called SMB Champions Club, and we've reinvested those dollars away from just doing incentives to creating programs that can help our partners grow their business. So we have two main programs. The first one is called the Cloud Enablement Desk. And this program is for partners who are interested in becoming a Silver Competency Partner. So if you already have a competency with Microsoft, then this program's not for you. If you're currently an ActionPAX subscriber, or if you just a network partner, you just went to the Microsoft website and signed up, this is the program. So we will work with you. Our team from the Microsoft Partner Network will work with you. For the next 6 months, they'll do pre-sales calls with you. They will work with you on getting your internal use rights set up. They'll work with your engineers and do mentoring. They'll do literally whatever it takes over the next 6 months to help you obtain your first cloud competency. Now, once you get that first cloud competency, you can then become eligible for the next slide, Sherman, which is the Cloud Acceleration Desk. So Cloud Acceleration Desk is for any partner who already has at least one silver or gold cloud competency. So in a case where we talked about earlier about the successful partners are selling multiple workloads. So let's say you're selling Office 365 today, but you really like the idea of enterprise mobility and security, or you really like the idea of Azure. Well, the Cloud Acceleration Desk will work with you until you achieve that next competency, or 6 months. So again, same thing as the Cloud Enablement Desk, where they'll work with you for 6 months, they'll do pre-sales calls, they'll help you get your internal use rights set up, they will help you with mentoring for your staff. They'll work with you on social media marketing, on regular marketing, email marketing, your website. Our job is to help you guys become more educated and more able to deliver these solutions to customers. And that's what the Cloud Enablement Desk and the Cloud Acceleration Desk are about.
Thank you for helping us out over here. You know, I think a lot of partners really wanted to know, you know, more about it and be, you know, probably more aware. And I did my best, but that was actually a great explanation. All right, so let's move into the next one, which is partner questions. We had them as frequently asked questions, but actually, I thought because we have Justin on the call today, that man, you know, we can ask him, you know, his thoughts on some of these things. All right, so you know, the first question really is about, you know, what are the vertical markets that I can look up, Justin? What would you suggest as some of the vertical markets? Since you were in MCC before and you're in this in the industry, what would you say?
Well, I mean, you can look up any vertical market. The first place to go is GuideStar. And Sherman, I know you've done some good training with partners on understanding what GuideStar is. But go to GuideStar.org, create an account. It's free to create an account. Once you create an account, then if you look through your book of business, you'll probably find that you're better with a particular vertical, or you have more customers in a one or two or three particular verticals. And then just make the decision that, hey, I'm going to put all my eggs or most of my eggs in a particular vertical and go deep. I think that one of the things that we see a lot of times is partners think, well, there's not enough business in the construction vertical. Uh-huh. Well, I'm here to tell you there's enough business in every single vertical. I mean, these verticals are spending multi-billion dollars across the country in technology. So whatever vertical it is that you pick, I would say figure out which one it is and then go deep with it. And the nice thing about going deep is you can create those package solutions, you can make additional value for those customers. Whereas if you're just peanut buttering it across every different vertical, there's nothing different about you. What I would want to do if I were a partner is I would want to go out and say, okay, for the construction vertical, I understand that they have people in the field. I understand that that they have different needs than a person who maybe is in the legal vertical or in the retail vertical or manufacturing vertical. I want to understand everything that they do, and I'm going to go out and interview those customers, and I'm going to put together some packages that really relate to them. Uh-huh. Now, once I do that, I can sponsor every trade show that they do. I can sponsor every magazine that they have. I want my solution to be the number one thing that people talk about in that construction vertical. That also allows them to, whenever they're getting together inside of an association, so beyond just the regular word of mouth. So If I want to go buy a new car, I can ask Sherman, hey, what kind of car should I go out and get? And he's going to tell me something, and I'm going to say, okay, great, I'm going to go look at that car. But outside of friend-to-friend referrals, in business, the next thing would be looking at the associations that you belong in. And if you're doing a good job with a couple of vendors who are within an organization, you'll start to see that those numbers start to grow significantly.
Yeah, that's the thing here. That's what MCC really is about. If you break it down, it's about vertical marketing, right? It's about finding a barrel of fish to go fish in. That's what it really is. Businesses and business associations are where, you know, like-minded, successful businesses are congregating. You know, if they're in the chamber, it's a little bit different, but if they're in a manufacturer's association and they're at a manufacturer's association meeting and they're there, they're attending, they're advocating for their industry, right? So those are the people that you want to talk to. And what better place is in that? And that's what MCC is about, vertical marketing. If you can get 6, 7, 8, 9 associations that you can do, and they can be in the same vertical, they can be low, you know, regional, statewide, you know, Western region, U.S., doesn't matter, same one, but that's where you want to be pitching to those people. You want to be talking, creating yourself as a thought leader with that. All right, so, you know, the next question, whoops, I went too fast. The next question was, you know, Justin, when you're in role, and now that you see it from a different perspective, you know, is MCC all about just doing events or just looking at, vertical markets?
Great question. So to me, MCC is so much more than doing the events. Now, I think events are a part of it, but I would actually say it's a very small part of it. I would say that MCC is really about having a partnership with the association. So many times when I see the most successful partners, what they'll do is they will create a way for the association to actually have some skin in the game. So whether that's creating a SPIF program for the association, I mean, if you really peel back the onion, you look at an association, their revenues typically come from people joining the association or what they call affinity programs. And an affinity program, if you think of somebody like Staples or Hertz or FedEx, you'll see the associations are broadcasting these services to their members on a regular basis, because every time somebody rents a car with Hertz, the association makes money. Every time somebody orders a big order from Staples, the association makes money. So they're sending these out on a regular basis. So as a Microsoft partner, how can I go into that association and say, hey, all of your customers, all of the members that you have are using Microsoft, but they're using older versions of Microsoft, or they're not using the Microsoft, maybe the Skype meetings. If you can help me get in with those companies, I can pay you 5%, or I can pay you $50 or $100 or whatever it is that you can come up with. I think that's where the most successful partners are really creating those partnerships, those strategic partnerships. So I wouldn't look at it as events, but maybe part of that strategic partnership is, hey, we're doing a monthly webinar series. Maybe I'm going to sponsor all of the different trade shows that you have. And at the same time, every time we sign somebody up, we're paying you a SPIF so that you can directly market, and then you want to do it. I think it's all about that strategic relationship.
That's amazing. And sometimes I even forget about some of those things. But yeah, okay, you could extrapolate that, Justin, with the packaged IP thing, right? Because in a packaged IP environment, you can raise your prices, right, or your margin to, let's say, 65, or, I mean, really, it's up to you, right? But you could give 10% of that back to the influencer, right, Justin? I mean, that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to do what's right for your business. I mean,
yeah.
obviously figured out, and you test the market. Maybe you start out with something high, or, you know, and then you dial it in. Maybe it's something that, Sherman, you and I have talked about, maybe chambers of commerce are not always the perfect solution all the time, but maybe you try something out with the chamber of commerce because you don't want to go to somebody like the business council who, you know, hey, that's going to be my bread and butter. Those are my bigger clients.
Yeah.
Maybe you try something out with the chamber of commerce before you go to the business council.
Exactly.
But you want to dial it in. You've got to test things out, but eventually, if you do it well, we have some really successful partners. I mean, one that I'll call out is Ryantech. They've just done some amazing things in the automotive industry, where every automotive dealership across the country is going to Ryantech for Office 365 because of some strategic things that they've done with MCC.
Yeah, they're probably the best example of vertical market creating an IP. And I mean, it's amazing to see them create what they did.
And the one thing that I love about it, Sherman, is I would love to see a partner try to compete against them because it just won't, I mean, they can try, but you're probably not going to unseat Ryantech because of the deep roots that they have within the different associations in that market. And they're able to, they've added on some amazing offerings to not only just the Microsoft offerings, but some other things outside of it. And they're so ingrained into that vertical because they've done a great job of creating their own packaged IP. They've done a great job building the relationship. And they've done some other things with the strategic partnership to make sure that those leads keep coming in. So it definitely can be done. We've got some great case studies on it. But I'd love to hear more stories like what Ryantech's done in automotive.
Yeah, absolutely. So and what they did really is they decided to think about it. And they decided, okay, well, we're pretty good at this. I'm going to get some training on we're just going to do it. Right? You're just going to do it. And I think that's important. You just got to do it. You just got to, just jump in, try to figure it out. I mean, you can allocate an hour out of every day to plan and try to figure it out. So it isn't something like you have to stop all your business to create it, but just do it. And that's important.
You know, one more thing, Sherman, earlier you said, how do partners stand out? How do partners stand out with Microsoft? You know, that's something you could do. So if you call and say, hey, Sherman, I want to get in with the association. Can you introduce me to somebody? You're probably not going to stand out. But if you came and said, hey, Sherman, I have some strategic relationships inside of the construction industry, and I've got their ear, and they've got 20,000 members across the U.S., and they would love to strategically partner with Microsoft to be able to bring a Microsoft offering, that's probably something that's going to make you stand out. And that's something that our Microsoft team is probably going to jump all over.
Exactly. I mean, we love to hear that stuff. So you're right. So, you know, what are the successful partners doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. And this is very, very, very simple. They're doing it, but they're not quitting. Okay. Even after they sent their first 10 emails out, first 20 emails out, they're not quitting. They keep sending them out. They keep collecting, you know, associations. And then the next thing, the real successful ones are actually pre-recording all 12 webinars, right? Think about this. All 12 of them. And they, you know, put them up on Office Mix because now they have 12 embed codes. And now they're reaching out to associations and they're not actually even doing the 12 in person. They're saying, hey, I have a set of 12 technology-based webinars. Can you put it on your education platform? Let me go ahead and register them. Every month we'll give them software for the people who attend. Now the whole base gets to watch them on demand, 600, 700, 800 members, 1,000 members watch these things on demand, but they watch that partner doing it. That's what's being successful. Don't stop, keep doing. If I was a partner again, I would be thinking, how can I get 200 associations underneath my belt? And I would take my top 10, and those are the ones that I would actually be producing actual in-person webinars and seminars. But the rest of them, I would have this, you know, pre-configured on-demand content, give it to them and register all those events. That's what I would do. And I think that a lot of successful partners are doing that. It takes hard work. You gotta work at it, but it's important to do that. All right, so let's move on to the next one. You know, Project Lead Gen next steps. If you're new to the call here and you don't know about Project Lead Gen is a training module, or five training modules, and it helps train our partners on how to build a practice through Microsoft Community Connections, but then do it at scale, okay? Most of you know already, you know, I did 132,000 in net new revenue. I did 7,200 in monthly recurring revenue, and I did had 300 events in 1 year, right? And I used it, and that's how I came up with Project Lead Gen. We put it together, we show you how to train for it. If you haven't downloaded the modules, you got to download those, and you got to send out your emails so that eGen and myself can actually respond to them. And that's what we really want to do. You got to attend these partner profitability calls, and then some of the benefits, we've kind of already talked about it. But really important, if you want to learn how to do it, go click on that link, and we can show you literally how to do it step by step. And if you need help, we're here to help you. All right, so in summary, packaged IP, backup solutions. You know, Justin talking about the partners that are doing really, really well. You know, think about establishing beachheads. Think about what you're going to do different to differentiate yourself from the marketplace, to be different, to be able to situation where you go and bid on services with two other MSPs and, you know, they're not even in the competition anymore because what you provide is such a value to the potential customer, it's unreal. Right? So think about that. That's the summary behind this. You know, don't quit, keep it going. And then, you know, moving into next week, I want to just kind of set the stage here. We're going to be talking about host your website in Microsoft Azure App Service, but we also have a special guest. Thank you, Justin, so much. I mean, it's been unbelievable. Next week, we will have Garrett Bundy on. He's our technical strategist here at Microsoft. He supports the Southwest region for Microsoft, and he's going to be in studio talking about EMS and some security things. Unbelievable. So if you're interested in that, please attend. So I just want to go give it right back to Justin real quick. Thank you so much, Justin. We really appreciate it. It's been awesome having you on here. Do you have any final thoughts for the group?
One final thought, Sherman, is I would just genuinely ask you guys just to use your internal use rights. I think that what happens a lot of times with partners is that they don't understand the technology. I mean, just to give a quick example, I've thrown this one out at a couple of last events. Use your internal use rights with EMS, Enterprise Mobility and Security. Use the rights management function. When you send out your quotes to customers, make sure rights management is turned on. That way, if the customer tries to forward it off to another MSP to try to competitively quote what you have, they want somebody to beat it, they won't be able to do that. If they don't go with you, you can revoke access so they can never see it again. And then once you start using that technology, people are going to ask you, how did you do that? So make sure to use your internal use rights, understand the products, and once you understand them and you're using them with customers, I think you guys will sell a lot more.
Awesome. So I think we have some questions here. I haven't been looking at the questions because just the way the configuration was. So Brian says, at some point, can you give us an example of a package that includes Dynamics 365? Brian, yes, we will, because it's coming up in like 2 or 3 weeks. We're talking about Dynamics and Dynamics 365. Absolutely. Now remember, you guys can come down here next week, next Monday. Come on down. You know, we want to fill up the seats here. We're going to network afterwards. So that's what I kind of envision this as a networking event as well. So come on down. We'd love to have you here. Thanks so much for coming. And we will have the recording for you soon. Have a great day. Thanks.